News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Across from me, Mr. Joe McGranahan and Rob Setters. Fabulous are by the day. We really need him. He's a great producer. He's on the other side of the glass, so we do appreciate that. And I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe's here. Matt Cotrillo's in the newsroom.
I saw Matt.
He's a good egg. He's doing a good job. And I guess those are the cast of characters.
That pretty much sums everything up. We can go home now, right?
Yep. Thank you and good night, everybody.
Have a good one.
Super job. I'll tell you what. You guys are doing a great job. So
short
thank
show.
You. I'll tell you what. Yeah. But why should we torture audience any farther?
That's our job.
Oh, torture the audience? I don't think so.
We haven't finished until we've completed it.
Until they've exhausted. Until they flop over from exhaustion. All right. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check it out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236. On Friday, we talked a little bit about the CSVT revision. I think $100.5 million more it's going to cost to finish to go around the ash piles. And
well, the ash pile cost was $127 million.
Okay, and what's the overall cost increase?
Well, there's another $50 million for a special type of pavement they want to put in that they believe will lead to less maintenance going forward. And then they've allocated $27 million for contingencies or miscellaneous.
I need a $27 million.
I'd like to have 10% of that, yes.
Contingency
so,
fund.
Bear in mind, they're being conservative. You know, they're trying to come up with the worst case to make sure they can fund the project under any circumstances. So they're hoping to do it for less than that. And as a matter of fact, one of the things PennDOT does is they have a value engineering meeting where they bring in outside consultants and engineers to look at the total cost and see whether the things can be pared down. That hasn't happened yet. So this is a worst case scenario. Also, the time is a worst case scenario, 3 years. I would think when all is said and done, it's going to be closer to two, and we already had part of that while we went through the process of trying to find another way around the ash basins. So, it's not gloomy. And as I said at our meeting Friday, that PennDOT, this wasn't PennDOT's fault. You know, they relied on the meters that PPL placed in the ground that seemed to indicate that the ash basins were drying out as they should have dried out.
Yes, yeah, solidifying.
Which would have allowed them to build over top of it. And, of course, when the decision was made to build over top of the ash basins, everybody was in favor of that because it didn't take any farmland, it didn't take any homes particularly. I mean, it took some, but not nearly as many. So everybody thought it was a great idea, and it was, up until the time that it wasn't.
Do we really need the highway?
Yeah, we need the highway.
Okay.
Well, the die is cast now. I mean, once you start construction like that, the Federal Highway Administration expects you to finish the job, and if you don't finish the job, you could wind up owing them some of the money back that they advanced. And I think we have $180 million from the federal government in this project, so better to keep going. You know, the old saying, in for a penny, in for a pound. Well, we're in for a pound.
I've never heard that saying.
You never did. You never read Poor Richard's Almanac, did you?
Not really extensively. Little snippets on the air from time to time.
Okay.
They still send them here. They send us a couple free copies so that we'll promote it and use it on the air.
Well, I think Ben Franklin's been dead for a few years. I doubt he's still publishing.
Yeah, he's not the publisher. they elected somebody else.
Anyway, it's the project is moving along, and the time frame is reasonable, and, you know, we're hoping to get everything done. The northern section should open by 2022, and if everything goes well, the southern section, I'm hoping by 2025, but it could be 2027.
All right, and that's a two-year difference.
I won't be alive at that point, probably.
2027, dear, don't say that. That's only a couple years away, really. Let's see, did you talk about Northumberland at all, the big long delays and so on?
Yes, they are working on that. They're hoping to get something done. It's the timing of the lights, apparently, is the issue. They are not timed, and they're trying, or not coordinated or synchronized, and they're trying to work on that. But it's hard to do because they're temporary. It's a temporary light. It's hard to synchronize a temporary light to permanent lights, I guess. But
why not have individuals run them?
Well, who's going to stand there all day and press the button?
Somebody who's being paid to do it, like a temporary
like traffic. A flagman, huh?
Well, yeah, they're Flaggers, Inc. How about them?
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether they've considered that idea or not. The person in charge of that project was not able to be at our meeting Friday, so Matt Beck, who does such a great job at PennDOT, filled in again, did his best to get a briefing, but he's not the one that you would hold responsible for that decision.
So. Yeah, Mindy and...
Ted Deptula.
Ted, okay, so they're the people. All right. Well, we'll get more information from them, but they are working on it, and Friday afternoon it wasn't bad, so that's some of their efforts already paid off. Delays were much shorter on... I was going to say delays would be shorter on Friday, but not Thursday. Thursday, they seemed as though they were probably as long. So, all right, so that's Northumberland.
Well, generally, a transportation survey that our committee is working on showed that Friday afternoons between 3 and 6 p.m. is absolutely the worst time to go anywhere around here.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yeah, that would be true. Yeah, I had to wait to get out at Ted's through two lights on Friday because there was no place to pull onto the highway. 15 was blocked.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
bad.
It was full of traffic, not blocked by any dilemma. So, all right, and tell me about the survey. When do we get the results of the survey?
Well, the preliminary results we released on Friday, and your newsroom has a copy of those. But basically what we were looking for is going forward, what should we be working on next in order to keep the valley growing from a transportation perspective and make sure that we're aware of what other communities and other areas see as problems that we should be working on and taking a look at for the future.
And what are they?
Well, we haven't finished analyzing the results. What we put out Friday was a general entire overview of the entire survey, but we want to break it down into the geographic areas like Sunbury, Northumberland, Sealands Grove, Hummel's Wharf, Shamokin Dam, Lewisburg, and, you know, that area, so that we have some feel for what each of the regions of the chamber are concerned about with respect to transportation going forward.
Okay. Well, when you're
but
ready
the
for
biggest
that.
Thing we found, we asked, at the end, we asked what concerns people had about safety, and some of the issues were trucks going too fast, enforcement of speed laws, things like that. But the overall, then at the end, we said, is there anything else you want to tell us about transportation in the area? And the thing that we saw most often there was the need for some sort of public transportation around here.
So you could take a bus from Danville to Sealands Grove if you wanted to, and maybe it'd get some preferential treatment.
Well, I think that
it would make it faster.
It sounds like a great idea. It sounds kind of simple to say, yes, we need public transportation, but the problem is, would people use it? Would they give up their independence? Would they give up driving their own car in order to save not time or money, but at least to save the environment or to make a bus route sustainable?
Right. So, okay, well, to be continued.
Will that or won't that happen? You know, would you give up, if you could take a bus here to work in the morning, would you give up taking your car?
Well, as long as I could take a bus home or wherever I'm going next.
Okay.
You know, if there were bus routes, you know, if there was a bus route with a couple of stops in Shamokin Dam and a couple of stops in Lewisburg and then down to Northumberland and Sunbury, I don't have
we had that for years. The BKW bus line, when I came here, was quite active, and they had a bus that ran, I guess, between Sunbury and Sealands Grove and stopped in Shamokin Dam. It stopped at the... Matter of fact, when the mid-rise in Shamokin Dam was built, they didn't have weren't required to put in as many parking spaces because so many of the people would have relied on that BKW bus.
BKW bus, wow. Boy, that's good history. All right, we have an advisory from the newsroom. A tweet we sent out earlier is still current, and that's that traffic is slow on Route 322 eastbound as you approach the village of Dauphin. So this is after Duncannon. A crash near the intersection of 225 and 322 east as traffic backed up for miles on 225 eastbound and 222 or to 322 and 22 eastbound. So be aware of that. If you're headed to Harrisburg, expect some delays. Go ahead and take Route 15. That is open, but there's volume problems on 15 now as you approach Marysville and those Perdicks in that area. So, and the Sheets is packed, I'm told. So good information there.
People waiting,
right?
Waiting out the rush, huh?
All right, we have 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. We're talking about transportation right now because we have the chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce Transportation Committee with us, and that's always Joe. So I can't wait to see the results of the survey sort of compiled into usable data. So, yeah, definitely bring that when you're ready. We'll bring in one of the eggheads from PennDOT that can help us do analysis, too, and we'll talk about that, maybe talk about the CSVT.
Can I be an egghead
Southern
too?
Section someday, maybe not yet. You're gonna have to work.
A junior
for
egghead.
You have to work for somebody to be an egghead. So you're not working for anybody except us. So, and that doesn't count.
Oh, all right. I'm glad you told me that.
Let's see. One of our listeners sent us a note. This relates to Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats and the new Green Deal. Okay, so we can read that in a moment. That is the sum total of our emails that are awaiting. But if you'd like to call us on a transportation topic or the new Green Deal, lots of folks don't want that. Of course, people love to talk about it, but they have no idea what they're really talking about. First of all, I don't think any of it has actually turned into legislation yet. And then secondly, there is a, well, we'll call it the Fox News version, where they say, you know, you're not going to be allowed to fly, you won't be able to drive your own car, and
have
all that.
To kill all the cows.
Right, yeah, that is all that stuff. False.
No,
so
I think
it's all Fox.
True. I think Olivia. AOC
you read the new Green Deal, and you that's what you got out of
cows,
it. Okay.
Right.
Well, yeah, Joe's on the same bandwagon. Yeah, Joe never would allow the facts get in the way of a terrible argument, and
the,
so
the facts about cow flatulence
is that bad? Oh, that's true. Yeah, they say if you eat beef,
Well, I think that's patriotic. If you eat beef, they can't be here to leave those stinkers.
Right. So you're doing your part.
Right.
Well, that's a good point. I try to do my part all the time. Good Delmonico is good for the planet.
Well, no, I guess we have the people from PETA who are upset with you.
Well, beef raising has a big environmental footprint, so that's kind of how that factors into that. But really, if you wanted to take better care of your body, you'd eat less red meat and more
chicken
and fish and other stuff anyway.
But you don't want to go to Chick-fil-A because they're not good people, right?
Oh, I love a Chick-fil-A. any objections?
Well, surprising, the liberal like you would go there.
Well, you know, here's the rub. You go there, you eat chicken, you leave. You'd never know that the owner has political disagreements with you. That's my kind of place. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. We're starting out with open phones. We will read the short email about the new Green Deal. We have a caller standing by. We talk to transportation. We would talk about anything you wish to. It's an open phones Monday. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Our show sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company.
Attention, Central PA truck buyers. SMC is where you want to be in March for the largest truck sale in our history. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to $15,000. Sunbury Motors has new Ford F-150 4x4 crew cab, priced as low as $39,619. During Sunbury Motors' 71st annual new Ford truck sale, every new F-150 will come with a complimentary accessory package. This $800 accessory package includes a tonneau cover, wheel well liners, and all-weather floor mats. The much-anticipated all-new 2019 Ford Ranger is available in both Super Cab and Crew Cab and is now in stock at SMC.
And it doesn't end there.
Take $6,000 off new Ford Escapes, $7,000 off Echo Sports, and up to a whopping $8,000 off Ford Explorers. With four city blocks of new Fords and over a century of automotive experience, SMC is where you want to be in March during this historic 71st annual new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We're going to get an update on some robotic bad news. If you had some bad news coming from a physician, would you care if it was done via a robot, or would you like the actual doctor to deliver the news? All right, so we'll talk about that. We have one short email pending. We'll read that in a moment, but Bobby D. is standing by. Good morning, sir. You're on the Mark.
Yes, good morning. You know, from being born and raised in Sunbury, and of course my grandparents lived there and everything, there's always been public, when Joe mentioned public transportation, the Bainbridge used to be a trolley.
What?
No, Bainbridge, there was a trolley at Bainbridge.
Oh, so there were trolley tracks on the Bainbridge?
Yeah, there was a trolley there.
Okay, so the trolley traveled, of course, all around here.
Yes.
On rails. Where did it start and where did it end up? Of course, so it used the Bainbridge to get across on the trolley tracks.
Yeah, it used to go down to Rolling Green Park and over to Norrie.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the railroad company or whatever, from the background information I got on it, the railroad basically built that just you know, to go up and down along the river to rolling. I think, you know, originally to start at Rolling Green Park, and I'm not sure how far it
went on there. Okay, I remember
a lot of these parks were created just so the trolleys could generate some business on weekends.
Okay.
They were created them as picnic groves and little parks, and they were all over the country, and they were all serviced by the trolley lines. However, once buses became popular, the trolleys kind of went the way of the wild goose.
All right.
And you didn't go anywhere on a trolley unless somebody laid down some tracks.
Went the way of the wild goose. I'm glad that saying went the way of the wild goose, too. Well, the trolley tracks in Sunbury were on, one set was on 2nd Street, because I know Jim Eister said they were having trouble with that section of 2nd Street that's near the jail, washboarding there, and that's because the ties were finally deteriorating after a century of being under the pavement, and so the pavement kept collapsing into them, and they'd have to dig down like 2 or 3 feet to take them all the way out, but you know, each year they'd patch it and repave it, but slowly those ties slowly deteriorated, and so that caused sort of a washboard effect right by the old Northumberland County Jail. So, all right, yeah, and Bainbridge had a trolley tracks on it. Where were the trolley tracks? I mean, there was only two lanes of traffic.
I'm not so certain that Bainbridge had them. I know that they were between the island and Northumberland. They might have come down through the White Bridge.
No, they came across.
Did they come across?
Bainbridge,
okay.
Yeah.
I never saw a toll booth on either side.
Yeah, but
maybe it was one side. I'm going to have to dig up that picture of the history of Sunbury and that. I'm not sure if the toll booth was on the Sunbury side.
It was
or
on the Sunbury. It was
side.
On the Sunbury side, and it was at one time it was a house built over the bridge
so that the toll keeper could stay there.
Right, and the toll keeper, if you remember the late Gus Wheeland, it was his father. Gus grew up in that house.
Oh my gosh!
So
good trivia. Holy smokes!
Always been, you know, some modes of transportation, public transportation. I'm going to say built along the river. And of course, like the railroads are built along the river too. And then do you remember the Reading Railroad? I think it was the Reading Railroad, where the, like, Sunbury Riverfront, the riverfront apartments are, then going across to Blue Hill. There was a railroad bridge there before the 72 flood. And there was an actual, what I call boardwalk type thing that you could ride your bikes across and walk across that
middle
railroad.
Yeah,
bridge.
Well, that wasn't meant for us to ride bikes. That was meant for workers to work on. You were on that bridge illegally.
Yeah.
Yeah. All okay. Right, yeah, I have a picture of the Bainbridge Street Bridge, and it shows the toll booth when it was just a little toll booth. And the trolley tracks, if you were facing Shamokin Dam from Sunbury, they're on the right-hand side, so they were kind of stuck to the side of the track.
Yeah, I've got the same picture.
Okay,
right.
Good. All right. Well, mine's much clearer, because you have a bad phone.
No, I don't. It's brand new.
It's a bad phone from the manufacturer.
And also the bus companies, there was the S&N bus company as well as the BKW.
Oh.
There was a Sunbury and Nori Transit as well as the BKW bus.
Well, in any event,
I don't know if there was anything before that. I'll have to look up in that history book and that. But
that's the house.
Well, and apparently there was a time when the trolleys actually went down the middle of the Bainbridge, not on the side. But that's the oldest rendition of the bridge. But when they built the new Bainbridge Street Bridge, the trolley tracks were on the right-hand side as you're heading north.
Okay, well.
That's
our walk down memory lane for this morning.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in. What a great stimulus for a good conversation. Appreciate that.
I don't think anybody's going to bring trolleys back when they talk about public transportation. No, it would be nice. They used to have what they called interurban, which was kind of trolley lines on steroids that ran between substantially sized communities.
One of the smartest women in the world sends us a note, says, it's very true about the 2nd Street washboarding of which you wise man speak. Okay, so I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. But she says the S&N, Sunbury and Northumberland Trolley, later became the S&N Bus Company on Edison Avenue, had a bus route to Nori and Sunbury in the 1970s. So you could ride the bus. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone. One of our good listeners, very concerned about socialism, which is probably a wise mindset, but she's concerned about the new Green Deal and its ramifications. She's read into the Fox News version of it and sent us this note.
Oh, come on, stop your editorializing. She says, I wish there was some way to get the young and old people who agree with the new Green Deal and all of the ramifications of socialism to listen to what this actually will do to us as Americans. I know they just think free, 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 but too bad and will be too sad for all of us if their wishes turn into reality.
All right. Thank you so much for the email. Feel free to give us a call on the new Green Deal. One of our good listeners sent us a note. Some man got some bad news via robot. Tell me about that.
This story comes out of San Francisco. Ernest Quintana's family knew he was dying of chronic lung disease when he was taken by ambulance to a hospital unable to breathe. But they were devastated when a robot machine rolled into his room in the intensive care unit that night, and a doctor told the 78-year-old patient by video call that he would likely die within days.
So this is a physician on the other end of this robot, but the robot just has, what, like a screen on it or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, you can see the doctor's, this disemboweled or disembodied doctor.
A poor guy. All he wanted to do was deliver some news.
It says, the quote from the family is, if you're coming to tell us normal news, that's fine, but if you're coming to tell us there's no lung left and we want you to put you on a morphine drip until you die, it should be done by a human being and not a machine. His daughter, Kathleen Quintana, said on Friday. Ernest Quintana did die on Tuesday, 2 days after being taken to the Kaiser Permanente Medical Center Emergency Department in Fremont, California. Michelle Gaskell Hames, senior vice president of Kaiser Permanente, Great Southern Alameda County, called the situation highly unusual and said officials regret falling short of the patient's expectations. But the hospital also defended its use of telemedicine and said its policy is to have a nurse or doctor in the room at the time of remote consultations. Well, obviously that didn't happen.
So is that bad that you're told from a doctor who's not actually there that you're going to die?
Well, do you want to... Well, all right. Admittedly, the news is the same no matter how it's delivered, but still, having a human being who presumably has some compassion who can be there with you to gauge your reaction and see all of you.
Gauge your reaction.
Well, how do you... Do you ever use Skype?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughter and I Skype.
Okay, so do you feel it's an accurate representation of her? I mean, you feel it like you understand everything that's going on in her world and all of her surroundings by looking at that picture? I never felt that way using Skype.
Okay, well, that's true. Yeah, it's not sort of a vivid image, and plus you can't see the background and you don't see everything, but wouldn't you rather know as soon as possible, hey, you're going to die? Well, we'd like to tell you that you're going to die, but we can't. The doctor's not here yet, so you're going to have to wait for the actual news. So don't.
Well, let me put it to you this way. What's the worst that can happen? If I die before I get the news, it's a moot point.
Well, it would be obvious, too. Let's suppose you set up a rule. We don't let the robot tell you that you're going to die. Okay, so the
Only
robot...
Only good news from the robot.
Right, so the robot comes in and says...
Things are looking good.
No, the robot says nothing. Well, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to deliver grim news, you know, and the robot says nothing.
Well, have we become so technologically advanced that we can't have human compassion anymore? That a doctor can't look at you and say, Mark, we've done everything we can for you, but I'm afraid it's time for you to put your affairs in order. You're not going to make it.
I want information as soon as possible. I don't care if an actual doctor
Mark,
does it or...
this is the machine. You are going to die. used to it.
Well, that's true. That machine's telling the truth.
I'm not disputing the fact that it's telling the truth. It's how it's telling the truth that I'm disputing.
Well, but it's not a robot. A robot has the screen on it, but it's an actual doctor at the other end talking. It's telemedicine. The doctor's just in another town.
Well, telemedicine, I think, is fine when the whole point is
when
to put
medicine.
You in touch with a specialist that wouldn't normally be able to address your case or your issue.
So you don't like telehospice.
Well, I don't like tele, you're dead. You know, I think that there's certainly got to be a better, more humane way to do something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather just find out as soon as possible, tell my family, tell my bride, hey, you know, the good doctor at the other end of the video screen says all is lost, so get your tails to the hospital and say your goodbyes. I'd rather get that whole process started than sit there and quibble over, oh, well, you know, the doctor, it's a certain kind of news we can't deliver without a doctor present, so
well,
you have to wait.
Let's look at it this way. This fellow knew he was in sad shape when he went in. But suppose you went in, take Alex Trebek, who apparently was in excellent health. He walks into the doctor's office and finds out he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
We had trouble swallowing.
Okay, would you want that news to come from a machine? Or would you want a doctor to tell you that, you know...
It's not coming from a machine. It's just being delivered from an actual live doctor who's
by
not...
By a machine.
Right. It's done on a video hookup, like a Skype hookup.
They called it a robot for a reason, Mark. They rolled it in. It rolled into the room, it said.
I like to have the information as soon as possible so I can tell my family the good news or, in his case, the bad news. And the sooner you know, the better. We can't deliver grim news, so you have to wait to find out. If it were good news, we'd tell you now, but unfortunately, you have to wait.
So much for the compassionate liberal in you.
So much for timely information, sir. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. It is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 702-236. And our umbrella sponsor, the main sponsor of our program, is the Sunbury Motor Company, 4th Street Sunbury and Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I have done. Go and build your next Ford Ranger pickup truck. I got the Raptor with four doors and a 6-foot bed. That's a longer bed, electric rear window, and a sunroof, and automatic transmission, and a lift kit already on it, a big skid plate on the front, and new charcoalish gray color. And so that's mine, but you can build yours. Some people might want one in the new rust color that they got. Some people might want one in the white, which at first I didn't like the white, but the white actually looks pretty darn good. So you get the idea. You can just click on the little link and you can make sure that there is a vehicle with your interest that would match up with you at the Sunbury Motor Company, or you can just look at their hundreds and hundreds of photographs and look at a vehicle, maybe one of the existing Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincolns they got on the lot. Maybe it's a pre-owned vehicle you're looking for. Maybe there's a different brand than Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln that would be perfect for your child. You're going to buy a car for the teenager. Well, guess what? They got you lined up and ready to go at the Sunbury Motor Company. Check it out first at sunburymotors.com or check out the vehicles while you're visiting the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motor Company would just love to give you a super service. That's what they do. Some very brief news headlines here. Queen Street closed in Northumberland until 6 p.m. Closed in the first block. That kills that de facto detour that many people use. It's not the marked detour, but lots of folks say it's a lot faster to go on Queen Street. Queen Street residents probably would beg to differ. But nonetheless, as a result, you've got very slow traffic on Front Street in Northumberland, and Orange Street's come up, and lots of folks are having to wait extra. Queen Street blocked today till 6 p.m. and then tomorrow night 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce reporting that the economy's good around here despite less than stellar jobs nationally. Bob Garrett, president and CEO of the chamber, says the labor participation rate is finally going up.
We were expecting that folks were going to begin to re-enter the labor force. It's taken a couple of years for the message to get across, but we're definitely not bouncing along the bottom anymore. We're starting to get up closer to where we'd like to see it, but we still have lots of room for improvement.
And he says you may be part of a national trend of wages going up.
The number one fuel for our economy is willing and qualified, skilled laborers. And they're coming into the labor force. We can see it by the numbers.
All right. Bob Garrett, you can hear the whole conversation on Friday's On the Mark program. In Harrisburg, long-anticipated legislation to pump hundreds of millions of dollars of ratepayer money into Pennsylvania's five nuclear power plants is being introduced. Monday's bill unveiling would usher in heated debate over whether the plants deserve what critics are calling a bailout. The debate in the state capitol run-up against the June budget deadline. Now, that's when Three Mile Island's owner, Chicago-based Exelon, says they'll start shutting down the financially struggling plant that was once the site of a near meltdown in 1979. The plant sponsor, Thomas Mahaffey, projects that it'll cost ratepayers about $500 million a year, or the average household $1.77 a month to bail out the nuclear power plants. Mahaffey says that the cost pales in comparison to the multi-billion dollar hit to Pennsylvania economies if five nuclear power plants shut down. And finally, should you boycott a performer who is accused of sexual abuse? You can make that decision with R. Kelly. And Michael Jackson's legacy has taken another hit since the documentary Leaving Neverland debuted on HBO last weekend. James L. Brooks, executive producer of The Simpsons, tells The Wall Street Journal the show has removed the 1991 episode Stark Raving Dad that features Jackson as a character who meets Homer Simpson in a mental institution. Now, Brooks says fellow producers Matt Groening and Al Jean agreed they felt like it was the only choice to make to pull the episode because it features an individual that has since been charged with child sexual abuse. Now, you don't like boycotts, but under these circumstances, is this the right use of commerce? Pull episodes that would feature, you know, an R. Kelly or a Michael Jackson or somebody else? To be continued. That's a big conversation.
It's a difficult case. Michael Jackson isn't here to defend himself. You know, I guess his estate will defend him, and I think they've already taken some steps to do it. But, I don't like charges that can't, where someone doesn't have a chance to defend themselves, and in this case, he doesn't. So you're left with the record, and the record indicates that he was less than honorable in his dealings with children, whom he apparently had a great fondness for, hopefully in the right direction. And what are you going to do?
All right, so you don't want to say either way. That's fine.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Michael Jackson was definitely an odd duck, but, you know, whether he was a child molester or not, it's another question.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We've got one call waiting and another coming in. We got one email pending on the topic that we started the show out discussing. Would you want a robot to deliver bad news? Now, it's a robot that holds the screen, but it's an actual doctor doing the speaking. One of our listeners says, what would you like for lunch? Your doctor wants us to inform you your discharge will be after 2 p.m. By the way, we are informing you. Don't make any plans for tomorrow. Your terminal condition is worse than we thought. Which message would you like to have delivered electronically, says
Dick.
That's
my point exactly. Dick's absolutely correct.
I would like the information ASAP, no matter what. Peggy, thank you for calling in. You are on the mark.
I'd like to say that I'm a 50-year out Geisinger nurse, and I'm also a federal government retired nurse, and I've seen all kinds of situations, and I personally would never want a robot to tell me that I'm terminally ill. I'm very much humanitarian and love people, and I also would not want to get that news from a robot. I think that Jesus, God, created us in his image to be a human being, and I dispute the robot telling me.
Yeah,
I would want a human being to tell me.
Who do you think's at the other end of the robot doing the talking?
I know the doctor, but still, I want personal.
Even if it takes longer,
yeah.
You know, you're not going to find out about your terminal diagnosis until tomorrow. That's okay?
That's okay with
me. Okay.
The
All
doctor's
right, we got
in the room. You can grab him by the hand and say, doctor, are you sure? what are you going to get out of the robot?
You look at the robot, which has microphone.
Sorry, we have computed that your odds of survival
are
zero.
Come on, Joe. It's not
you
a robot talking. Joe, it's not a robot talking. It's a human.
Might as well
Skype.
Be.
Oh, boy. Thank you so much, Peggy. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Peggy.
You're welcome.
All right, we go from the Sunbury Peggy to the Lewisburg Peggy. You are on the mark. We got another Peggy calling in, too. This is crazy. Go ahead, Peggy.
Thank you. I would like the public to know there's a scam going around concerning Social Security. They called and they said that I was supposed to call a certain number, that my Social Security is in a situation where it was going to be stopped, and they gave me a number to call, but I didn't call it because it sounded like a scam to me. And I just want the public to be aware of what is going on.
All right, well, thank you.
I don't know what's wrong with society today, but it's, you just can't trust anybody anymore.
Well, you can't trust Republicans, that's for sure. All right.
I beg your pardon.
Sorry. No, Peggy. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we hear her. Oh, I'm sorry. She was saying keep up the good work, and I pushed the button.
Well, you assume that's what she was saying.
You keep up the terrible work?
Keep up your good work.
No, she was going to say
the computer likes what you're doing.
Oh,
by the way, you are going to die.
All right. We have a computer, since Joe wants us to go computerized. We have a computer that's going to tell us what's next here on the radio. Here we go.
Telemetry, channel 2-3.
Up, channel 2. Line 2 has a call on it. Go ahead, Joseph. You're on the mark.
Yes. Did you realize, and I don't know if people realize this, but the book above all books that contains the word of Almighty Yahweh, our Creator, and the Creator of all things, told us about this 2,800 years ago, and then he reaffirmed that in the book of Revelations about 1,900 years ago, and it's found in the book of Joel, and I'll read a couple of verses here, which very clearly depicts artificial intelligence.
Well, you don't have to read the verses. Suffice to say what? That a lot of this is prophecy, that coming truth, this idea that machines will be able to give us good information. And
right, right. And, okay. And what it is, if someone wants to look it up, it's been found in Joel chapter 2. You should read the whole chapter. It talks about them falling on the sword and they will not be hurt.
Okay.
In other words, it's artificial intelligence robots. And we know that the military is developing robots, you know, for military use. Of course, we have drones or robots that kill people, you know. Mm-hmm. But the most important one, which is going to affect you and I and every human being on the planet Earth, is chapter 13, where he calls us life, give us life unto the image of the beast, that the beast should both speak, and cause us, as many as would not worship the beast, should be killed. And, of course, that's the mark of the beast, 666, where you got to receive a mark in your right hand or in your forehead, and you can't buy or sell except you have that mark.
So this is prophecy, this idea that doctors would deliver news via a computer. It's not a robot delivering the news. It's an actual doctor. Would you rather have terminal information from a human who's in the room tomorrow, or have the human via Skype deliver the news today?
Well, I understand the human, yes, of course you'd like to talk to a human. I get so upset talking. I get robot-generated calls all day, you know, and it's just a computer speaking with you, you know what I mean? I don't like to hear them. I don't even talk to them. You know, I just hang up usually.
All right.
But it's where we are, and people don't realize what's going on and what's taking over here, you know? Actually, those movies of Arnold Schwarzenegger are quite prophetic, you know.
Oh, the Terminator.
Right. Because, you know, I mean, this is what the book of Joel says, that, you know, they'll march in ranks and they'll fall on the sword. They won't be hurt. But, again, it was unthinkable until the computer age that you could receive, that you could control all buying and selling via the computer. Every place, no matter what. If a computer shuts down, if you're a Walmart, you're not going to buy anything, you know?
Yeah, power outages shut down restaurants, too, around here. So.
Right, right.
Well, that's okay. In its place, a robot is fine, but a robot has no business telling someone they're going to die or that they have a terminal illness.
But here it says in Revelation, if you don't obey this computer or this image of the beast, the government system, you're going to die. It says you're going to have your head cut off. You're going to be decapitated. And most Christians think they're going to be raptured out before that happens. They're badly deceived. Their preachers are lying to them. They're going to be here. We're going to be here if you're a believer in Messiah. You're going to be here for 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years of what they call the 7-year tribulation period.
All right.
Revelation 20 tells you that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells you implicitly that the anti-Messiah, what do you call the anti-Messiah?
So you would rather have a machine tell you immediately, if that's what I'm hearing, if you hear the news today, or versus a doctor tomorrow. Now remember, it's just a video screen. There's an actual doctor on the other end, like Skype. You'd rather have that today, right? You get the news sooner, correct?
Oh, you know, when I was a kid, back in the 50s and 40s, the doctor would come to your house. You know, you didn't go to a doctor's office.
Not with that kind of news.
He'd come to your house.
Right, the house call.
Now, everything has changed, you know. And we're living in a brave new world. When you have AOC and these crazy people in Congress, Muslims in Congress, being sworn in on the Quran, and you know they're anti-Semitic, they're anti-American, you know?
Right. Well, Muslims aren't anti-Muslims. Muslims aren't anti-American.
Born and raised in Indonesia and raised as a Muslim, which he was.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much.
You know, come on, as a child, teach a child the way that he should go, and he won't depart from it when he's old. And he was raised that way, and he didn't depart from it. He was very favorable to other Muslims.
Gotcha.
He even held the Feast of Ramadan in the Capitol, you know, in the White House.
Right. All right. Thank you so much, Joseph. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for being one of our good listeners. Always appreciate it. 1-800-795-9565. We got open phones. Most folks seem to indicate, with Joe, that they don't want the doctor via Skype to say you're going to die today. They want you to deliver that news tomorrow
Joseph brings up a good point. And back in, and when I was a kid, I can remember doctors coming to the house when I was sick.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I can remember that.
House call.
Then doctors found out they could make more money by having you come to them because it saved them time. They were operating in one central location.
Well, that's
and now they've discovered
that
they could sit in their office hundreds of miles away from you and make even more money by sending a robot in to give you the news they should be giving you in person.
It wasn't just making more money. Their motive was that they had to stay in the office so they could see more people. It costs almost an hour of time.
More money.
Well, that's true. That was the net result, but that's not the goal. The goal was to serve more individuals so they come to the doctor's office more often.
So
but
what's
yeah,
the
I remember,
goal with telemedicine?
Your good friend, Dr. Weller, visited me at my house.
Yes, well, Carl was an old school doc.
So, all right, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking house calls, prophecy, robots, doctors delivering terminal messages via Skype, and...
I believe it is time for a commercial. Please press the button.
What's our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line?
1-800-795-9565. Call it now.
Oh, the weather outside's been frightful. School cancellations are delightful. I want to go play in the snow. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Why is it that only kids are excited when it snows? Mom gets all crazy about going to the store for bread, milk, and eggs, and Dad runs to the hardware store for more salt. One of the quickest stops we make is our hometown pharmacy. We call ahead for our prescriptions, pick them up, and head on home to build the biggest snow fort on the block.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Nori Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trutz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg.
Can anyone tell me, what's the big deal about bread, milk, and eggs? I mean, what's everybody gonna do? Sit inside and eat French toast while watching Snowmageddon hit?
Your hometown pharmacy. Making a difference every season, every day.
Come back, machine says you are going to die.
Wouldn't you rather know that today rather than wait till tomorrow?
No, I'd rather, actually, if I don't need to know, I'd probably rather not know.
All right, 1-800-7.
You wouldn't want to know the exact hour and day of your death?
No, but that's not what the doctor does via Skype.
Well,
he just says, look.
He said you've got 2 days maybe to live.
Well, that's the closest estimate he had. 1-800-795-9565 is the line that Harry dialed. Thank you, sir. You're on the mark.
I can't believe that anybody would rather have a robot or a message tell you. There's no way that was a real doctor telling you. That may have been a real doctor's voice telling you news, but that was just like getting it from an answering machine. The simple fact of the matter is that with what Geisinger and other hospitals charge you, you would think that they'd at least have one doctor in the hospital that could come around and talk to a patient and give them news rather than give them a canned message on a machine. It's, you know, medicine has, what's happened to medical care, when they talk about reform in the medical field, they should be talking about going back to when healthcare was about medical care, not medicine. And this is just another prime example of that.
Well, maybe it was a rural healthcare system in a rural town.
Well, it wasn't. It was Kaiser Permanente.
I know. I'm just harassing you. Well,
it's as bad as, you know, when I go to Giant or Wise's and they tell me that, oh, you can use the self-checkout, my response to them is, no, I can't, because you're not paying me to do that. You have people who are being paid to wait on people here. And as somebody who's in the service industry, I understand that and respect that more than most others. And this is another example of that, only now you have people who act like God, playing God on a machine. That's disgusting.
All right, we got you.
I wouldn't agree with you more,
Harry. Well, Kaiser Permanente says they regret falling short of the patient's expectations, but the hospital defended its use of telemedicine and said its policy is to have a nurse or doctor in the room at the time.
That's not telemedicine.
That's not telemedicine. That's another example of they are just trying to move people in, move people out, and keep that ATM machine cashing in their money. They
gotcha.
Don't care about patients. They don't care about medicine. They don't care about patients at all.
I got you.
That's not true.
This bed will be available tomorrow at 2 p.m. You will die.
Goodbye, Harry. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Would you rather know today via Skype with a doctor that's not in the room?
But it's not a matter
that
of
you have
time,
a terminal
Mark.
Condition? Or would you rather know tomorrow?
They
in which
could have
case
sent a doctor
were...
in to tell the person that this news. It does not nothing in the story indicates you would have had to wait a day longer to have a human being come in and tell you.
Okay. And the doctor says you're going to die within days.
If it's their policy,
the video
as
call.
They said, to have an actual doctor in the room, he could have delivered that news. But in this case, they didn't have a doctor in the room. They just sent the machine in.
If you're going to tell us, the family member said, if you're going to tell us normal news, that's fine. But if you're going to tell us that you're going to die, that should be done by a human being. Okay.
If the machine came in and said to me, your blood pressure is slightly elevated, we are going to give you medication for that.
It's
that's
not
fine.
A robot. Stop it. It's an actual doctor. Now
it's
behave.
A robot.
It's via Skype. It's a human being on the other end of the Skype machine. It's telemedicine.
It's cold. It's impersonal. It is tragically...
So, but do you know what that means, then? You know, when they wheel in the monitor and they say, okay, well, you know, Dr. Smith can't come in at the moment.
We have some news for you. Here comes the machine. You're not going to like it.
No. They wheel in the machine, and then, because you know that they would only deliver good news, and then they say, oh, okay, sorry, and they wheel out the machine. You have to wait till the doctor comes tomorrow.
Maybe the good machine, the machine with good news could be painted a bright yellow, and the machine with bad news, dark black.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Would you rather know today via Skype you're going to die within 48 hours or wait till tomorrow and have a doctor tell you in person? 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Eric, thanks for weighing in on this important topic. You're on the mark.
Well, actually, I'm going to go in a different direction this morning, gentlemen. I want to raise up a gentleman from down here in Port Treverton who I've spoken of before. His name is Eugene. He's known as Kel Harold. Eugene died on Friday. Eugene was 96 years old. Eugene was a true WW2 war veteran and also a hero. I wanted to raise him up this morning because we're losing our WW2 vets so fast. I'm not sure how many we have left in Snyder County. It may be as few as 10. But we're losing them at a very rapid rate. Kel was a upstanding citizen here in Port Treverton, worked for the school district after his military service. He was the maintenance guy who went around his green van and repaired everything, and was a very warm and loving person. But Kel never spoke much about his service. But occasionally when we were working the church, a couple of the men would be cleaning up, you know, and he'd start talking about it. And Kel was wounded. He was in the second wave of Omaha Beach. He fought for the Big Red One, the 1st Infantry Division. I'm not sure exactly how many invasions he did. I think he was in Italy. But he was in the second wave of Omaha Beach. and was hit and almost lost his leg coming ashore. But he was actually wounded three different times. And they talk about the greatest generation, and they truly were. And we're losing them at such a rate. And I appreciate the other discussions we're having this morning about robots and so forth, but it just, I wanted to raise up, you know, a true American hero who we lost over the weekend. He was a great citizen, full lifetime resident of Fort Treverton, and he passed away on Friday, and we'll be celebrating his life tomorrow at our church, Hope Church in Fort Treverton. But there's so many other, I think, fewer and fewer of our World War II vets out there. So, you know, if you know one, grab onto them, get them to give them a hug and say, you know, thank you, because we talk about our democracy, you know, daily on this program, whether we like it or not, whether we're Democrat or Republican. But without these heroes having gone and been away from their families for years at a time, and we're willing to, and in Kel's case, be shot three times, we won't be speaking about this. We might be speaking German or Japanese right now instead. So thank you to Kel and his dedication to our country, and thank you to all of our vets, but especially our dwindling WW2 vets.
Boy, well said. Well, and I think we do have a lot of World War II vets around here left, so, boy, grab one and hug them, as you say. I'll remember that when I see my dad a little bit later on. I'll talk to him. He's told me some of his stories, but there's certainly more to learn from him, so we'll be sure to make sure that we avail ourselves of that opportunity. Thank you so much, Eric. Thanks for calling
in. Thanks for the opportunity, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
You betcha. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Give us a buzz. I don't want to gloss over what Eric had to say about the really important topic around here. I think gratitude might be a good Lenten discipline for folks if you're not sure what to do, because, you know, we live in a country where we have this free speech. Joe and I can argue about things like robotics in the hospital room. We're free to do so. We can argue that we have a terrible government or that we have a great government, and we're free to do so without repercussions. And so that freedom...
bought and paid for by our World War II veterans.
Freedom's not free. All right, 1-800-795-9565, Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. We have just a moment before the break. Joe, were you able to adjust to daylight saving time?
Yes, matter of fact, I was.
Okay. Well, that's
next
true.
Next question.
Without a life that frees you up to get up whenever you want
that's
to.
That's right. I don't have any problem with it. I'd like fall better when you get the hour back than giving it up. I don't see why they just don't let daylight saving time in and call it standard time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see any need to go back and forth. This seems to work out better. It preserves more daylight. It gives it's a little darker in the morning during the winter, I guess, when kids are going to school.
Well, but see, kids know how to go to school in the dark. It's what we do. So, I mean, we do it all winter, so it's not like it's a bizarre occurrence. You know, suddenly we're... It's not like they're going to school in the dark because of switching to standard time.
Well, school starts at 8:30. If it's a big problem, start it at 9:30. 9:30 to 4:30 instead of 8:30 to 3:30.
Or just start it at 7 o'clock in the pitch dark and concede the fact that we're going to need some lights. But guess what? The kids will be able to play outside in the light later, and that's good.
No?
Yeah, I agree. I don't have a strong feeling whether it should be standard time or daylight saving time that we switch to, but I'm tired of switching the clocks.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Silly.
It's just a lot of extra work in today's digital world. There are clocks on everything.
Well, and I heard more about it this year, but still no real legislative momentum in Washington. More people are interested in, you know, having it switched to just leave it at standard time or just leave it at daylight saving time, which I guess what you're saying makes more sense. Whichever gives us more light in the evening.
I think that it's, I look at my watch. I haven't changed my watch yet because it's difficult to figure out, and I have to do it twice a year.
Oh, brother.
You know, I like my cell phone. It changes automatically, and I have an atomic clock at home that changes automatically. I don't have to touch it. The computer changes automatically. Alexa changes automatically. But some of the clocks don't. And so you have to go around the house. You have to remember, now, did I change this one or didn't I? Is it 1 hour forward or 1 hour back?
Yep.
1 year, a friend of mine actually did the wrong thing. They set their clock ahead an hour when it should have gone back. And so they wound up being, 2 hours early for everything?
Oh, dear.
Until they caught on.
Right, until they realized what was going on. All right. Well, we have an email that, or a text relates to the robotic doctor, so we'll read that. We don't see any lines lit. Should we stay on daylight saving time and not switch back to standard time in the spring? Let's talk about that briefly, or in the fall, I guess. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
Up your new car game in March with a new Kia for just $99 a month from Sunbury Motors Kia. A 2019 Kia Forte LX for just $99 a month for only 24 months. Drive away in a 2019 Kia Soul for only $149 a month. With deals like this, you'll have to hurry in to get in under the buzzer. Sunbury Motors Kia also has up to $10,000 off MSRP on a 2018 Kia Cadenza and $8,000 off a 2019 Sorento LX V6 with convenience package. Everyone's a winner with Kia because all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Up your new car game in March with Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases over 24 months, 10,000 miles per year, $3,500 total due inside, or equivalent rate. No security deposit required. Tax and tags extra. Discounts include all applicable rebates. Offers expire 3/31/19. Or Kia's delimited powertrain warranty for DPLC retailer, or go to Kia.com.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Ernest Quintana's family knew he was dying of chronic lung disease, but they didn't expect to hear via Skype that the 78-year-old patient would be done within 48 hours. They complained about not having an actual doctor in the room. To that end, one of our listeners, who is super-duper nurse and one of the smartest women in the world, sends us a text.
She says, there are two sides to that coin regarding the doc in the box. I suppose because it is a common adaptation in Geisinger's ICUs, one night my PA was off the unit for a code and my PT decided to have an event of his own. BP dropped, heart rate went wild, his color turned a terrible shade of gray. I pushed the red button on the wall and a critical care doc appeared, the doc in the box. He ordered my interventions and wrote orders for all of it. My PT responded well to the interventions. I guess that means patient. We are approaching a significant doctor shortage in our country. Having a doctor at my push of a button was and is functional.
Okay, fantastic.
And very personal.
Thank you for that. And this critical care nurse, as she indicates, so thank you for that.
So let's say that you, this doc in a box is in the room and you're having, as our good texter there points out, a cardiac emergency. The doc in the box can't put a stethoscope up to your chest to hear what you're saying. He would have to rely on somebody in the room doing that and telling him what they heard.
Right.
And
well,
they may or may not be as adept at detecting all the nuances.
Well, but I think you'd have a better chance. You remember, you don't have a doctor there. Wouldn't you rather have a doc in a box versus no doc there? The on-duty doc's out of the room at the moment. I think this is a trend in healthcare that helps patients.
I think
it gets you in touch with physicians more often. And you're already surrounded by real professionals, so that
where
helps.
Where it works best is where Dr. Freud, the consensus expert in the whole country, he's called in to consult on your case. Your doctor is there. He's perfectly competent. He's a specialist in the area in which you need help. And he calls on this even greater expert to give him some advice and guidance. Mm-hmm. That's where it works best. Where it doesn't work is where they send the robot into the room to tell you you're about to croak.
Send the robot. Hello, your time is up.
We don't have to
too
get bad news. Machine will do that.
Order lunch, but not dinner.
Here is your tray.
Okay, I got you. All right, we'll let it go at that.
If we don't kill you, this will.
So, we have a nuclear power plant near Berwick, the Susquehanna Steam Electric Station. We also have Exelon-owned Three Mile Island. One of the units is running down there even as we speak and generating electricity, and billions, with a B, pumping into the economy. It's a very expensive way to generate electricity. So should we bail out the nuclear power industry, or should ratepayers? Now they're talking about ratepayers. Now, initially the conversation was the idea that you would put a tax somehow on Pennsylvanians and bail out the industry, or should it be a ratepayers that just float another part of the industry. If we were still supporting, let's say, the horse and buggy industry with a bailout, would you support keeping that a gas tax to keep the horse and buggy industry alive? Would
sure.
that be the same? Even though the horse and buggy industry supports hundreds of people that work in Mifflinburg and other fine local communities.
Bad analogy, because we don't need horses and buggies today, but we need nuclear power.
Not necessarily. Not if you have natural gas and coal and wind and solar and you're generating your nuclear needs elsewhere.
Right.
All right. We have been talking about robotics, and that's the topic of interest of our good audience members. Fran, you are on the mark. Thanks for the call. Very much appreciated. Thanks for calling in.
Well, you're welcome. As I said, Joe said that, the doctor's not there to put the stethoscope on the chest. That is true. He's not. But he asked me to do a 12-lead EKG. I did that for my patient. And there's a camera in the room. And he zooms in on the EKG, and he reads that EKG. And from that EKG, he determines what sort of medication interventions I do at the time. So there is just all kinds of things that this doctor in the box, we call him the doc in the box, the interventions are just incredible. When you really need him, he's there, and I'm grateful.
So this is an actual physician, though, at the other end. It's not a robotic situation at all.
No.
It's telemedicine.
No, it's an actual physician, and had my patient taken a turn for the worse, I could have hit the code button and I would have activated another code within the hospital, but I wasn't at that critical point. I still had interventions and things that I could do to intervene and not have it go to such an end. So it was just really sweet to have that doctor at my back, and so let's give him a bullet fluid and let's start a amiodarone drip, give him a bolus of amiodarone, start the drip, blah, blah, blah. And just like that, my patient turns around. It's all good.
Okay. All right, so it's helpful in real-life situations.
But should it be telling you, Fran, that you're going to die?
No, that's completely wrong. There should be a whole other intervention that way, and that would be actually the doctor coming in, sitting at the bedside, having an eye-to-eye discussion with the family.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're wrong, Fran.
No, I'm right about this one.
I figured.
I think odds are Mark's going to outlive me, but I would love to be there the day he gets the bad news that his time on Earth is up.
Oh, boy.
And he gets it from a machine.
No, Fran is always right. She's the smartest girl in the room everywhere she goes, so I appreciate her information.
You're sweet, but I have never seen a doctor come in and tell somebody that they're not going to survive this via remote anything.
Right.
It's always somebody with a calm demeanor comes in and explains the entire situation, eye-to-eye contact, a handhold, just an absolute moment
mm-hmm.
where everybody needs to take a deep breath, and it's that kind of never-forgettable moment, so you got to make it the best of the moment.
Fran, right. Let me ask you a question based on your years of experience. How many doctors have what you would call really good bedside manner when it comes to a situation like that? What percentage, if you had to guess?
Actually, what I see is a lot of compassion.
Do you?
I really do. Yeah, I really do. And I see people anymore. I mean, I hate to say it, but we flog our doctors a lot. Doctors are just so abused right now because there's not many of them, and more is expected from them. And, they're in it because of the compassion thing, and they're in it because of the science, and they're in it because they're making a difference. And so when somebody's actively dying, or you're going to go in and talk to somebody about actively dying, it's part of their scope of practice. And so some of them do it really, really well, and some of them stumble, but they're still learning. But they're still there, and they want to make this kind, and they want to make this a bridge to maybe a better relationship for everybody. So it's a difficult time every time.
Right.
But
okay.
Some people are more prepared than others to hear that too. And then you have cultural differences. So there's all kinds of things that factor into how that talk is going to go.
But all of them are better when there's an actual human being delivering it.
All right. Absolutely. And, all right. And a nurse at the bedside.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just going to say, because you make a really big connection with your bedside nurse, because she's there 12 hours, or he, 12 hours of that day when your doctor is just in and out, making a difference everywhere else. You know what I mean? But nurses at the bedside. So when they come in and have that conversation, I always want to be there at the bedside.
All right.
Well, I saw a mime somewhere, a meme on the internet that said nurses are there to keep doctors from killing you.
All right. How about it? Thank you so much, Fran. Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it. Thanks for being a great listener. We do appreciate that. All right. We're talking robotics and nuclear power. Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565.
Attention, Central PA truck buyers. SMC is where you want to be in March for the largest truck sale in our history. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to $15,000. Sunbury Motors has new Ford F-150 4x4 crew cab, priced as low as $39,619. During Sunbury Motors' 71st annual new Ford truck sale, every new F-150 will come with a complimentary accessory package. This $800 accessory package includes a tonneau cover, wheel well liners, and all-weather floor mats. The much-anticipated all-new 2019 Ford Ranger is available in both Super Cab and Crew Cab, and is now in stock at SMC.
And it doesn't end there.
Take $6,000 off new Ford Escape, $7,000 off EcoSports, and up to a whopping $8,000 off Ford Explorer. With four city blocks of new Fords and over a century of automotive experience, SMC is where you want to be in March during this historic 71st annual new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Okay, you guys are talking about robotics. They had a program on one of the national networks where robotics were doing surgery. And this is what kind of,
you mean without a human running it? Because I know humans do robotic surgery now, but it's not their hands in the patient.
Well, these robotics are programmed to diagnose and remove what is ailing the patient.
Oh, so the robot does the whole thing. Okay,
and
that's
does
different.
The whole thing. And, of course, there is times, I guess, that a human would intervene if something would go wrong. but the whole thing in a nutshell is we are eliminating human factors. And Joe, not all doctors have the guts to tell their patients they're going to die.
All right. Well, good point. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's see, on the topic of robotic nursing, Dick, you are next. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Go right ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to tell Fran, I wish she would be my nurse if I was going through that. She's wonderful, and her explanation was really, really right to the point.
She's
the
real
deal.
She is the smartest woman in the world. I'm not just, it's not puffery.
She did a nice job explaining the whole thing. I just wanted to, how much I appreciated her explanation. Thank you.
But I suppose, I may ask you, you prefer to get, cut him off,
I
can't ask him the question.
Well, you're asking an inane question, so. Mike, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. We're talking about Doc in the Box.
Okay, I told the gentleman I wanted to talk about nuclear power and then maybe tie it in with Doc in the Box.
Okay, we'll do the tie-in first and then switch to nuclear power.
Okay, I think what you're looking at is economies of scale, and you know, like nuclear power, when you had started improving the process, you were able to get more energy for less money. And I think with healthcare, I think you can get a lot more treatment for a patient with less money. Now, that said, when you have a doc in a box, it depends on the patient. You know, if you put junk in, you're going to get junk out. So it all depends on the quality of information that the patient can provide. So I am in favor of exploring this and trying to take it further to improve healthcare, but I think we have to do it with the understanding that it comes down to the patient himself or herself to put in the right information and kind of take care of themselves in a way by doing so.
Well, the patient's not really interacting with the data entry. It's just a physician that's not in the room. He's out of some sort of a central location. That's what's happening here. The patient has professional human staff with them. You know, PAs and nursing staff are typically present, at least some of the time. But then when they want to either in an emergent situation or urgent situation, you know, where you're not going to live that long, they want you to know as soon as possible. That's when the doc is available via telemedicine. But the regular healthcare professional, the ones that are typically there are also there, and they're doing all the data.
The ones that are trained to ask their questions.
Right. Yeah. It's not that a robot's asking you how do you feel or something like that.
Sure.
All right. And how's that tied to nuclear power? This ought to be good.
Okay. With nuclear power, I want to say I'm a strong proponent of nuclear power. Okay. And when this all got started, well, first let me just tell you this. We're all familiar with the first atomic bomb explosion over Japan. The energy there was created by about 0.024 ounces of material mass converted to energy. In other words, about a third of a dime. If you take a U.S. dime and take one third of it, that is how much mass was created to energy. So for me, I believe that there's an unlimited amount of energy that we can get, and when we're getting it from mass, we're not creating very much greenhouse gas, which I think is good. Now, that said, when nuclear power came into being for the commercial use to create electricity, we were operating in mainly a regulated environment. In other words, whatever it cost to build these things, operate them, and maintain them, the utilities were paid, okay? So there was no economy of scale put into it. There was no reason to try to refine the process and make it better. I mean, there were some reasons, but when you're guaranteed a return on investment, you're not really pushing the window to try to make things better and more efficient. I think today we're at the point now where energy is getting more expensive, and we're at the point where we care about CO2. I think we should invest in nuclear power, but that said, I think it has to be a market-based investment. I don't think we should just hand out money to these companies to produce electricity with nuclear power, because there's not going to be the incentive for them to get better, to innovate, and have a better product.
What do you mean by a market? What do you mean by a market-based investment? Just out of curiosity.
Okay, well, a market-based investment.
Then you have another 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, we invest in something hoping to make money off of it. So the person making the product is going to try to do it as efficiently and cost-effective as possible so that they can stay in business to keep making that product.
Okay.
All right. Nuclear power industry didn't have that for a time, he was saying. All right. Thank you so much, Mike. Yeah,
well,
really appreciate the call.
I think that, you know, you look at nuclear power, and I agree with him on what he said about the amount of mass it took to generate the power. The problem is on the other end, where we've never found a good way to get rid of the residue of the nuclear power plant. If we could solve that issue, I would think that nuclear power would pretty much, you know, be something most of us could agree on, don't you?
Yes, and Terry, Tyler, Steve, Jennifer, and Brad would probably agree with me on this topic. No bailout. Brad's at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. He is located on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Jennifer is the head pharmacist at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street in Bloomsburg. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in Northumberland, which you can access easily. Just follow the signs. Tyler's at Trutz Pharmacy on Walden Street in Mifflinburg. Terry's at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. They want you to know that every dollar you spend at a hometown pharmacy gets spent locally 10 times over. That means that buck you give to the pharmacy, the staff and the employees and the owners, they take that dollar and they go to the local fire company, churches, charities, fundraisers, other local businesses, find local restaurants, find local grocery stores, and guess what? They spend that dollar, and that dollar just keeps rattling around in your local community, and everybody's helped by the dollar that you started at a hometown pharmacy. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. Bobby D will give you the last word on nuclear power. Go right ahead.
Okay, I believe that...
You got 10 seconds.
...in Berwick, and for one of the outages in that, and of course, the biggest problem at that point... was said getting rid of the waste, and
right,
there's where the biggest... expense is. I mean, as far as the generation, that's one thing.
All right, I'm going to stop you there. We'll invite you to call and wrap up that comment. Plus, he was getting a call, so that's, everything's happening at once. Thank you, Bobby. We'll talk about this tomorrow. This is WKOK Sunday.